Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Over the past several weeks in the Gospels, we have heard Jesus being tested by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. They're all testing Jesus to come up with some evidence so that they could convict him and put him to death. Well, now the tables are turned. In this week's Gospel, Jesus now goes on the offensive, and he is deeply critical of the religious establishment of his time. Notice what he says. The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. Are they corrupt? Yes. And Jesus will tell us how and why. But notice what Jesus says to the apostles. Do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. Which means what? As teachers of the law, and in the measure in which they teach the law, the apostles should listen to them. What's the hidden danger here? To look upon them and see their sin and corruption, and then make the mistake that what they teach and what they stand for is utter nonsense. See, the great temptation is for us to make the great mistake of associating the veracity and the validity of their teaching with the corruption of their own lives. Great example of this is the pedophile scandal that has rocked our church recently. Many people are doing the same thing. They're falling into that great temptation. They say, well, if the priests are corrupt, well, then it's okay for me to be corrupt also. No. Again, notice what Jesus says to his apostles and to us. Do and observe all the things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. The teaching. They teach the law. They teach the commandments, which are not corrupt, despite the fact that the leaders themselves are corrupt. Again, go back to our church scandal. People have left our church, I know, because they've told me right to my face, and yet they make the great mistake of equating the teaching of our church with the church ministers that have created these terrible scandals and crimes against the most innocent of our children. These people believe, they say to themselves and even to me, to my face, well, the priests are corrupt. Therefore, the priests are corrupt. The church is corrupt. Teachings of the church are corrupt. Therefore, I'm leaving. Well, no, we can't make that broad assumption. The church, her doctrines, her dogmas, her sacraments, they are all given to us by Jesus Christ, and for over 2,000 years, they have not been corrupted, nor will they ever be corrupted, because they are given to us by Christ. Christ is the origin of them. More to it, within the church, we find God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, the church itself will never be corrupted. So it begs the question, how? How can this scandal then take place? Well, I don't think we'll find it in the scripture readings for this weekend. Instead, what we have to do is turn to Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in that letter, Paul says, "We hold God's treasure in earthen vessels." I'll say that again. We hold God's treasure in earthen vessels. What is God's treasure? The church, her sacraments, her doctrine, her dogma, that is God's treasure. What are the earthen vessels? We ourselves, us. And yet, we are flawed creatures. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised when bad people, especially bad people within the church, do bad things. And we see that throughout the centuries, in the Great Reformation, the Great Western Schism. Again, we hold the treasure of God in earthen vessels. The church's teaching is taught sometimes throughout our church history, sometimes by deeply flawed individuals. And yet, despite that, it doesn't undermine the validity or the veracity of the teaching itself. See, that's what Jesus is trying to teach to his apostles and now to us. When he says to apostles, "Do and observe all the things whatsoever they tell you," which means the law, the commandments, doctrine, dogma, "but don't follow their example." What he means by that is don't follow their lifestyle. We place our faith in God, in Christ, in the church that Christ created himself, in the doctrine and the dogma and the sacraments that Jesus Christ himself handed on to us. Our faith is placed in that, rather than ministers, corrupt ministers in our church. We have to be very careful not to have the attitude of, "Well, if the priest can't abide by the teachings of the church, why should I?" Wrong. We can't do that. We have to recognize the church, her teachings, her doctrines, her dogmas, her sacraments must be followed, despite the fact that some of the ministers of our church are deeply corrupt and have been kicked out of our church. Despite the fact that they can't follow the teachings means that we must continue to be faithful to those teachings. See, that's what Jesus is teaching the apostles and us. Now, notice how Jesus critiques the lives of these religious leaders. In some ways, there are good lessons for us all. First, Jesus says, "For they preach, but they do not practice." You know, that's a great lesson for us all. Yes, we love to preach to people how they are not abiding by the church's teaching, but we better be doing it ourselves. They often give you that great quote from St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the word of God always, and if necessary, use words. Actions speak louder than words." If we truly want to preach to people, we better be living the faith and practicing in ourselves first before we begin to critiquing others. Next, Jesus says, "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, lay them upon people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them." Here, Jesus is getting at the fact that religion can be used as a weapon. How? Well, you can easily lay the moral law upon one, and it can be a burden for some. You can say to someone, "You know, I know the moral law, and I know you aren't living up to God's law or to God's commandments." Another way to put it, you can say to someone, "You know, I know the law, and I know how you are violating the law, and I can state all the different types or kinds in which you are violating the law. And therefore, you are morally inferior to me, and I am morally superior to you." See, that is using the law, religion, as a weapon. But that cannot be for us. Part of the Christian life is bearing another's burden, which means we help others, especially those that are having a hard time. Great example of this, gossip. I've often told you, if you ever live in a seminary, the national pastime in a seminary is gossip. I know in the United States, we often say the national pastime of our country is baseball. However, I would argue it's football, especially being a Packer fan. But nonetheless, the national pastime in the seminary life is gossip. I'll never forget one time when it reached its height. A very wise and old professor stopped his class when he recognized what was going on. He stopped the class and he said to us, "You know, it's okay to publicly criticize a person if you are willing to help that person overcome their faults and their shortcomings. But if you are not willing to help that person overcome their faults and their shortcomings, then you shut your mouth." You know, I'll never forget that. It's been over 10 years, and I I remember it like it happened yesterday. It was a powerful lesson for all of us. And see, that's what Jesus is getting at here. Well, we have to realize, yes, we can publicly point out the faults of people who are not living up to the teachings of the church. But if we do, we better help them. We better help them overcome those faults. Because we would not want anyone to be gossiping about us. That's not part of the Christian life. Jesus continues. He says, all their works are performed to be seen. What's he getting at here? Well, he's criticizing their motivation for doing those good works. Is Jesus criticizing good works? No, not at all. Instead, he's criticizing the fact that they're not motivated by charity or for care of others. Instead, they do these good works so that other people may see them, so that other people may notice how holy these people are. Next, Jesus says, they widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Well, what are phylacteries? Essentially, they are strips of cloth, small strips of cloth that you write scripture passages on, and then you wrap that cloth around your arm. The symbolism is beautiful. Essentially, what you're doing is you're wrapping yourself in sacred scripture. Or you could take a small little box, a leather box, fill it with scripture passages, and then take a strip of cloth and wrap that around your forehead. Keep that on there all day long. Again, the symbolism is great. Essentially, you are placing the Word of God in your mind. Now, is Jesus criticizing these things? No, not at all. Instead, what he's criticizing, again, is their motivation. Jesus says they widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Well, they do this to make sure that everyone sees them, that they're noticed by all. See, these are all external signs of piety, and they do that so that everyone notices them, how holy they are. See, Jesus is highlighting a second major problem. Some people use religion to draw attention to their own egos. Faith, religion, one of its major purposes is to draw us away from our ego. What does sin do? Sin keeps us obsessed with our ego and our own self, but religion does just the opposite. But what Jesus is critiquing is pious people, they wrap themselves in their own cloak of piety. They draw attention to themselves. They say to everyone, oh, look at me. Look how holy I am. Essentially, these people are caught in their own prism of their ego. Religion is a tool that helps us get out of that prison of our ego. And see, what Jesus is criticizing is that people use now religion to be locked up with inside that prison of their own ego. Finally, Jesus says, they love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greeting in marketplaces, and salutations of rabbi. Titles, honor, status, positions. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, titles help us to distinguish a person's duties and responsibilities. But what is Jesus really criticizing? Title itself, it can become like a drug. We become addicted to it. We are attached to the titles and the honor that comes with it. And then we want more and more and more. What does Jesus say? Don't be addicted to that, such that our preoccupation is now with our ego. Do you want to be a spiritual leader for your family, for your friends, in the workplace, in the neighborhood? Well, then listen to what Jesus says. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If you truly want to be a good spiritual leader for your family, your children, for your friends, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, then do exactly what Jesus says. Be a humble servant of the Lord, and then you truly will be a great, faithful, and spiritual leader for all people in this world. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.